This ain't my business, but I just know about it.
Yeah. We back.
Hey, man, what you say, what you got, man? This your boy, man, F-Chef Ugly Man, the myth, the legend, the voice of this here great ratchet city.
And this your boy, Nesto the Don, the one and only, the nigga that be out here in Motion City doing his thing.
I feel you.
Yes, sir, it's your boy, Pac-Man, the hood's voice box, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Real advocate here in this Motion City. And you know, today, you know, we got special guests, you know what I'm saying? Somebody who grown to become a real good friend of mine. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm T-Win.
Yeah.
Well, T-Win, what's up, man? I want to welcome you here, man, to this here, man, platform, man. That ain't my business.
Now, hold on. We ain't finna let them be that modest. Yeah. You T-Win. Who is T-Win?
There's a couple T-Wins now.
I'm the T-Win that has a lot of care and concern about the black community. I'm the T-Win that has a lot of care and concern about the human race.
Word.
So I'm the T-Win that advocates for our people.
All right. So people, I was doing just looking up a little history on you and thing. And, you know, I seen you speaking at the United Nations, you know. Before that, just get like a little backdrop on you. I know you went to jail when you was like 16 and you did like, what, 30 years or something like that?
30 years and 7 months.
Okay, 30 years and 7 months. So can you kind of give us a backdrop on like how did that situation come about and then kind of lead it up to like how did that end up with you speaking like at the United Nations and things like that?
Well, being a 16-year-old kid coming from the Cooper Road when gangs was real, real bad in Shreveport, I kind of got lost into the streets, even though I was going to school. So I was like, I had a name in the streets. And a situation happened on Christmas night that left one guy dead who didn't have anything to do with the situation. And another guy, he lived, but he was shot also. So that situation got me tried as an adult because I was a kid. So they took me out the juvenile system, placed me into an adult system. I received life in 25, and I went to Angola. Well, 30 years of my life was lost. So the transformation of me going to prison, I was like, when I went to prison, I was still in school. So I was a smart kid. So my first 6 months in prison, I received my GED, the quickest in the history of a prison, DOC in Louisiana for sure. So I received my GED and I went on to be a tutor. So that they had me teaching other people how to read, write, do math and everything. So at that point, prison was real, real rough. When I went, it was still the rape culture.
Mm.
Shreveport we had very few people in Angola at that time. So I had to be a man, because you was going to get tested at that point going into prison. It was no doubt. I was a 17-year-old kid. So, you know, you're going to get tested. So I handled my test. I proved to be a man. And so looking at the barbarianism that was going on within the prison system, I made a vow to myself that I would never become like the people that was around me. And so the only thing I could do was to educate myself. So I started getting real, real in depth on being a black person, understanding why we make the bad decisions that we make, why we hate one another the way we hate one another, why we use the N-word to degrade one another without knowing that we degrade one another. And it was just a lot of psychology that I had to learn just to read and learning the real history of us before America, the history of us in Africa, the history of us teaching mankind civilization by studying the animals. Just that whole in-depth learnings just made me proud to be a black person. And so having that pride, it just made me continue to strive to be a better person within the prison system. Now, being a better person in the prison system was just me understanding who I am and treating other black people the way that they were supposed to be treated. I constantly got in trouble, because that also came with having a rebellious spirit, because to have a slave mentality is to kind of like give into the system. So I fought it, and I didn't want to give into the system. So, I was a person that kept a disciplinary report. But going into the cells just make you read, because you don't never have to worry about going to work. So you just reading and you writing, and you just bettering your skills of being just a smart person, a person of intelligence. But it also makes you be an abnormal person, because being in a cell, being locked in solitary confinement, man, it makes you don't want to be around people. It makes you just always know to go within yourself. And it makes you really be able to handle situations like out here in the world, because most things that are happening out here, I can laugh it off, because I went through the worst situations in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get any worse than that. It's like just hearing bad words. It doesn't get any worse than a judge telling you, man, you got life plus 25 years. So when you die, if they bring you back to life, you happen to be miraculous and just come to resurrect, you still got to be in prison. So, you know, those are the harshest words you can hear outside of hearing someone come to tell you your mom dead, man. Then your dad dead, man, you know. And I had to go through all that. I had to endure all that while I was incarcerated. And I'm saying my daughters constantly grow up. Then now I'm having grandkids. All this is happening while I'm in prison. So it makes you just strive to want to be better, because you don't want that curse to follow your grandkids so that they can come and follow in your footsteps, because you got girls and they passed it. So, you know, now it can trickle down into your grandkids. So you got to give lessons. And you got to give lessons that's going to be real, real valuable, so that they could just take it and say, man, granddaddy taught me this. I'm not going to follow in his footsteps, because he don't want me to follow in his footsteps. And even here, you know, it's a rally cry for your kids to come to prison. It's a rally cry for us to keep them and hold them and teach them the right ways, and to just love on them enough to let them know, man, that one false move, one bad mistake, man, you can lose it. You can either lose it for forever to the grave or to prison.
Okay, so when you got out of jail, I'm gonna end up going back to the jail too, though. But when you got out of jail, how did that transition into you end up in front of the United Nations? Like, what was that? What was all that about? What, you know?
It was a combination of me just coming home from prison and not forgetting the brothers that's in prison. You know, we hear this philosophy that I think Mandela started it, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, one of the greats started this, we're not free until we all free. And so to adapt that mentality, I came home and just didn't forget the brothers that's in prison. So I just started doing stuff to try to help people get free as much as I possibly could. And that led to me going to speak before the United Nations because people just took notice of it. And we released a documentary. And Southern Poverty Law Clinic got a hold of it. And it just went through to other people. And they just, like, we would like for him to come to the United Nations to speak on behalf of solitary confinement in different prison conditions.
Can you say the name of the documentary in case somebody want to look it up?
Ending Plantation Prison.
Ending Plantation Prison.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so what was like some of the hardest things you seen in prison or some of the wildest things you seen?
The hardest things I saw in prison was, I saw a lot of hard things. I done seen guys get killed in prison by security. What's the next question you asked?
Some of the wildest.
Some of the wildest.
You seen Sissy Boonham? You seen Sissy Boonham? You said that wild shit, that Sissy Boonham.
You got a lot of wild stuff happening. I mean, when I went to prison, they was raping.
Ask him about your uncle.
You know,
I know you probably ran across my uncle, you heard me. He got 2 life sentences plus 50 or some shit, I think. Eric McCall.
Yeah.
Yeah, twin.
Yeah, man.
Hey man, free my uncle, you heard me.
I think 20, huh? No.
Yeah, he got the movie around. He gonna fuck something.
I'm about to say, he done terrorizing him.
Twin been in the cells for forever, man.
Yeah, Twin, he fucked up. Yeah, Unc fucked up.
He gonna fuck something. You talking about like a prison?
Man, Unc don't give a fuck what it is. He fucking, he was doing that before he left Caddo.
Nah.
Yeah, Unc fucking, I don't know where you been at. Shit, Unc gonna get him. He gonna get a bunk, a punk, and a pack of humps.
That ain't my business.
But we gonna talk about
that
it.
That ain't my business.
I just know about it.
That's insane.
The other day, me and my homeboy, we was sitting right here, me and my cousin, actually. Me and my cousin, Big Nose, we were watching some Locked Up or some shit, but they were doing a thing on Angola. And with Angola being like one of the worst prisons in the country, do you think it actually reform people? Do it actually correct people? Or it institutionalize them?
Or do it do both?
Or do both?
It could do both. It's when you step into Angola, it's an individual thing.
Well, I take that back. Let me rephrase that. Because my mama, her husband, he was 18 years old when he went to Angola. With my mama first husband, but going in as a child, because you're a child, even if you go in there, if you're 18, you're still a damn child, going on Camp J. But going in as a child, like, do you think it institutionalizes you, or do you think it reforms you?
Again, you know, it's like it's on the individual, because you got some kids that go in there. They feel like they don't have anything to lose. So when you got that mentality, it institutionalizes. But when you got a kid that's going in and say, man, I'm getting out of here,
mm-hmm.
It's going to make him better, because he's going to put himself in positions to just constantly educate himself, to constantly put himself in a position to show people that he deserves a second chance at freedom. But those with the institutional mentality, you're going to see them always fighting, always stabbing somebody, always getting into it with security, and they're going to always stay in a cell. So it's going to be, you're going to see the difference.
Yeah.
So how did you manage to get out? If they gave you life plus 25, how did you manage to get out?
In 2012, they had a law, Miller versus Alabama. And that law stated that you couldn't automatically give a kid a life sentence without checking the mitigating factors. And that law didn't become retroactive until 2016 up under Montgomery versus Louisiana. So when Montgomery passed, they went to legislative sessions and they made it to where a juvenile could do 25 years and go up on the parole board, and he'll be eligible. He's eligible for parole.
Yeah.
And then he could you know, if you make the parole board, you can come home. So that's how it happened. That's what happened. The law changed.
For so me. You was just in like the law library and doing like case study or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of young black men don't know that you go in front of that courtroom, you go in that courtroom, you commit these crimes, and you get in there, they don't know, man. Them people don't give a damn. Ignorance of the law is no excuse at all. But that comes from the education, because they stopped teaching us living law. When I got in high school, living law was over with. And niggas don't know the law. You feel me? And it's sad that we have to go sit down for 20 and 30 years to get the law, because it ain't taught to us.
So they used to teach that in high school?
When I got the Booker T my freshman year, I took civics and living law. And by the time I got in the 12th grade, well, I was gone away from Booker T then, but by the time I got in the 12th grade, my 12th grade year was when they took living law out of school. And that shit's crazy as hell. You know what I'm saying?
So what would you say is like, what would you say was like the biggest difference between when you first got to prison and when you got out of, when it was close for you to get out of prison?
The biggest difference was hope. When I went in, there was no hope. When I came out, there was a lot of hope. And so when the hope that just was there, you saw all these barbarian acts going on. But at the end, you know, you didn't, that was dead. That was like, that was a real thing of the past.
For you or for like a multitude of people?
Yeah, for the whole prison. It was like, people started, you know, like when I went, the one dude went home, you probably had one dude going home once every 3 to 4 years, and the whole prison knew about it. But when toward the end, man, they was letting people go home like that November the 1st, 2018 came across. Man, they had like 200 dudes left from prison. Yeah. Angola. You know, it was like, damn. So people had hope, because it went to becoming a thing where people were seeing people go home every single day in Angola, as opposed to you ain't seeing people go home but once periodically. Most people was just dying. They had no release mechanism. But then that release mechanism came, and so you start seeing people hope, having that hope. You start seeing people stepping in a different way. Start seeing smiles where you saw frowns.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was the biggest.
And the fucking stop.
The what?
No. They had women. So they was.
Oh, they were still fucking.
Pregnancy started happening.
How many motherfuckers you knocked out? Fuck that. Now, let's get to this, because in between all that, him going at 16 and becoming a man, you ever stabbed a couple niggas? How many niggas you out now? Ain't nothing can be done about it. They can't try you double jeopardy no shit like that, so you good. You had a shank?
Say, Pat, man. And he won't call you the people.
Exactly. I'm saying, you had a shank or something? I'm in the fight head.
I had a few, but I used, when I first went in, you had to establish yourself, because it was so hard. I had all of my fights really toward the front end, because during the back end, you know, when you establish yourself, you don't really have to do all that stuff. You establish, everybody know he gonna fight.
So you ain't have no shame the whole thing.
No, I mean, yeah. Early on, you had to have one. Yeah, the stories that they'll tell you. Man, when you go in the shower, watch my back. That type of stuff, man. I'm finna go to sleep. Man, make sure don't nobody get me while I'm asleep, because they was really getting you while you were asleep. But that was early on. But like later on, you didn't establish that. People be tripping. People gonna be like, yeah, man, that man the truth, man. He gonna have his business. And so you have to do it.
You fucking them hoes. I know they had some bad business. White hoes. Black hoes.
Black women, white women.
Shit. When you been gone that long, though, all them hoes look good. I was gone 10 months, and there was some ugly bitches that was teaching reentry. Looked as good as fuck to me.
Yeah, you can play tricks with your mind,
right? I'm like, damn, that pussy look fake. Really, you think I'm lying, boy?
True.
Shit. You getting into relationships with women on the TV and shit?
Look, I know that. Nah, I know that's true.
Say, boy, Dominique Bean, they used to love her. Yeah. When they gonna hire a young bitch on the news, man, they go crazy.
Boy, I freaked out.
Like, what?
You know, I had a homeboy. He was a offender when it come to that old And jacking off and things.
Shit, Monk out the bottom.
Monk,
I come through there, man. Monk got put on. Monk said, I'm going BMU. I can sleep all day, jack off all day. BMU action.
Yeah, that's insane.
Hey,
that's
I know insane. There's tuition when you go in young. He was 16 when he did it.
So what does it do for a person mentally, though, to see, like, people, you know,
die in
front of you in jail? Like,
it's like, whew.
It's Afghanistan?
Like, it makes you, it be real eye-opening, man, because you be saying, man, I don't want to do that, man. I don't want to die here. So it makes you kind of like change whatever you're doing to make you focus more on, I got to get out. I got to do something. I got to get, man, file a writ for me. Or I got to go and file a writ on my own. It makes you just change because, man, you don't want that to happen to you.
And a lot of people don't understand until they get in that position. They say, well, just stay out of trouble. You, when you up in a dome with, I'll say, 100 to 150 people, you bust in, you can't control your environment. When you in the world, you can just move around. You can't move around, niggas sleeping on top of you. Niggas sleeping next to you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Like, trouble can find, trouble especially is easy to find you inside the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know you met some fucked up creatures though. All them niggas don't need to be the fuck getting out. Cause there's some serial killers dying there. There's some niggas that were taking pussy, taking little boy booties, little girls, all that
you
shit.
You mean to say they don't need to get out unless they your people?
No, if your people they need do to
that,
die.
If they your people, if your people
you
doing
just
that,
you said
you,
your uncle is down there taking booty.
And you said free him.
And you said free him.
I'm talking about on the street.
I'm trying to take it in jail.
Yeah, because that's part of that nature. You feel me? So I heard. What I'm saying is, do you think some of those worst ones? Because see me, it's a difference in between murdering somebody and killing somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a big difference, and people don't know. When you go in the courthouse, sometimes you got to listen and pay attention to the words. Sometimes they get up there and say you killed that person or you murdered that person, and it's a big difference. So, like, do you think a person can be reformed after he've murdered or got more than one murder? Like, safe and still a serial killer. You think a serial killer can be reformed?
After he getting pleasure out of killing.
After he getting pleasure out of killing. Like,
hell no.
I don't think this crazy motherfucker be reformed like a serial killer.
I actually think they can.
Like a serial killer, though, like, I killed this nigga here. We was on some old street shit. Boom, I ain't tripping on that there. I'm talking about this motherfucker been around here up under people's houses chopping limbs up and shit. Like,
well, I met
a bunch of them.
No, just serial killers. When you just when you fit that mold,
like a king.
That's like a habit. No, that's like you. That's like a drug to you. Now, like
I met the King Von type dude.
That's a different type of serial killer.
It's a different type.
Yeah,
because I done seen some of them get reformed. Because I got a partner now.
I know a couple of them. I hang with them.
But 18 lives.
No, the only thing that make them similar to a serial killer is the textbook word serial killer, though. Yeah. If you're looking from the textbook sense, but other than that, they not the same.
I disagree.
Nah, because a serial killer killing people for no reason.
That's not true. It's
most
a reason.
Serial killers killing people. I'm saying the person ain't did nothing to them.
Most
serial killers kill people they don't know.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah?
We talking about real serial killers.
Nah, I disagree with that. Most serial killers, they kill people for specific reasons. Now, you may not agree with their reasons, but it's a reason to it.
But
now,
the reason they get away for so long, because it be people they don't really have no relationship to.
But hold on, like, when I compare that to, like, a King Von, like, most of them people ain't necessarily did nothing to him neither.
They did somebody else.
Yeah, not even though. Like some affiliated. Of them people ain't did. Exactly.
Affiliated.
Like
you did something then. No. Your gang then killed my family. The people from your hood then killed people from my hood.
So this is
your people killed my little sister or something.
But what I'm saying is this. Like when it come to, a person that get pleasure out of killing, like all they need is a reason though. You see what I'm saying? But I want to kind of get back to that, though. Like, why do you feel like that type of person can be reformed, though?
Can. Well, those that has, like, your Jeffrey Dahmer type people.
Yeah. See, he knows the difference.
I don't think that it's a mental thing with that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they could just be totally refreshed because it's triggers to what they're saying. Like you're saying, they got them reasons. Those,
yeah,
those,
put on the right pressures. Yeah, like those they triggers. Might give in to yeah. it and kill.
Yeah, that bloodlust, that fantasy that they have going in their head, or that sickness that they have, sometimes they'll just have to feed it. So I don't think that those people could be truly, truly reformed. But now, those street guys are just doing what they're doing.
Mm-mm.
I haven't saw no. them be reformed. And, you know, I don't want to just say with totality that they can't be reformed, because sometimes people have those walk into Damascus moment where they see the
I'm going to say it like this. If somebody actually took a serial killer, what is three people make you a serial killer?
Yeah, I believe it's three or more.
If somebody actually killed like that many people, do they actually deserve a second chance? If you killed over 10, 15, like a real serial killer, do they really deserve a second chance?
I mean, I'm going to ask you all this, and I'm going to answer the question. What's your religious belief?
See, I'm not religious.
You're not religious?
Nah, but if we're going to talk about religion.
No, I ain't going to speak about religion.
Oh, yeah, because you know you got the Old Testament, then you got the New Testament. You know them two different Testaments.
So, I mean, even with the two. So, the Old Testament.
They was fucking chopping babies up.
They was eye for eye.
It was, yeah.
Eye for eye.
Yeah, I'm saying they were chopping babies up. Fucking.
But the New Testament is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we living up under those rules, that means. You got to be able to forgive somebody. But you can forgive people without freeing people.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, the guy Montgomery. Montgomery case made it possible for people like me to be free.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So the family of Montgomery's victim said, man, we forgive you, but yeah. we don't never want to see you walk free.
So okay, yeah.
Within itself, that seems like a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
But they said like, hey, man, we forgive you as long as you can live the rest of your days in prison, but you shouldn't be you shouldn't walk free.
Mm.
So it's like, you can forgive people. I don't know.
So, because look, I got a lot of relationships in the city. So, like, I deal with a lot of different type of people with a lot of different mindsets, right? And, like, me personally, when I look at jail, I look at jail as this. I'm saying from like my perspective.
Point of view, yeah.
Are they suitable for society, or can they be a benefit to society? I feel like it whatever point that person can be a benefit to society and they're not a menace to society or gonna be a negative aspect on society, I feel like they should be free, right? Because for one, it's such a tax burden on the people. We can use that money to make society better. Everything is in the context of making society.
So you think
better.
A serial rapist can be reformed?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
But hold on. Yeah. If a serial killer can be reformed, then a serial rapist can be reformed.
What about a pedophile?
I didn't.
Well, hey, we ain't got nothing to do about fucking on babies.
That's the worst you can, like, the farthest you can, like, you can't come back from that. So if you can forgive a serial killer, but you can't forgive a serial pedophile.
Well, to me, it's not about forgiveness, though. That's what I'm saying.
Redemption.
It's about, like I say, it's about this. It's about can they, and it's this simple. Can they be a benefit to society? Like, for you, for example, since you came home, you know, you may have did what you did. People may feel the way they feel about whatever. But since you came home, all I've seen is you be a benefit to society. So yeah. I feel like, but that was a good choice.
I'm going to give you a logical example. I'm going to use P. Diddy. And Bill Cosby, for example. Bill Cosby, He was a benefit to society. Because of him, a lot of black kids went to college and wanted to go to college and wanted to be a certain, you know, clean cut weight. But at the same time, he was putting pills and bitches drinking shit. He was hurting the. But I ain't mad. It wasn't black women, so I ain't mad.
Look,
look, that's a reparation.
You got to hear what I'm saying, though, because I don't think you're really hearing what I'm saying.
I heard you saying the same thing with P. Diddy. He changed a lot of people's lives. But he was doing that freaking shit.
No, it's destroying people's lives. You're not hearing me yet.
I'm saying it was people that was benefiting society while they was actually fucking up society at the same time.
Hey, look, so you gotta hear me.
Like, he could be a person that can cure cancer, but he raping people. He benefits society too, though.
You're not hearing me.
But he busting bitches up against their will.
This is what I'm saying.
All right.
I said a person can't be a menace or a negative aspect to society. So what I'm saying is, if you doing good, but you committing crimes, you still committing crimes. You go to jail because you committing crimes. I'm saying once that person is in jail, I just got cussed out by some people I just consider family over this aspect. Like, because this is the way I look at the shit. Like, if a person is no longer a detriment to the greater good of people, then I don't feel like we should have them in jail, because this is the thing with America versus like Scandinavian countries. Here in America, we use jail as punishment, and that doesn't make society better in the long run. Now, if you use it for rehabilitation, then you'll be able to, you'll have more nuclear families. You'll have people out being able to provide for their family. You know what I'm saying? You have more people able to benefit society. But long as you focusing on punishment, like long as, like you said, do they deserve? Because deserve is going to be different for every person.
You know what I think? What our prison system do? It teaches us to be better criminals. Make us not want to go. Now, this time, we're going to do the crime better so we don't go back.
Yeah, but even more than that, like the people that say the people in our community that don't commit crime, right? They tend to got to like the KKK mentality. Like, what when the people walk out your house with torches and shit like that, like they want to see a lynching. Like, they won't get back.
Yeah,
they want the same shit that they claim to be against. So say I killed the person because I feel like they did something to me, right? People, the people that's supposed to be our good people in our community, deep down, they want to see the same thing. The reason why I did what I did to a person, I just didn't get the police involved. They really want to see that same thing happen to me, but they want the police to do it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like we need to reform our entire
prison
system in the way we look at it, the way we look at police and the way we look at the prison, because it is an industry, but the prison system, I'm going to say system.
Now, we're going to call a spade a spade. That's a goddamn industry. Look.
Yeah, it is an industry. I said it's an industry.
Yeah, into all my constituents.
We need to reimagine that, though.
Yeah, listen. See, with me and my constituents.
Yeah, like I said, I can't say what I want to say because, you know what I'm saying?
What's up with you and your constituents? Tell me about them.
So, C Murder, did you get to spend any time around man Corey Miller? Well, I ain't going to call him C Murder. I mean Corey Miller.
I spent a lot of time around him. We'll say we friend. We, you know, with some genuine stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did he being who he was, did it affect like the way he was treated? You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yo.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that Corey Miller, man.
He's a celebrity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was it more celebrity than him? You was down there with
Mac?
Well, Mac was in Hunts.
Oh, he was in Hunts.
Boosie was down there. They had a news reporter from New Orleans. He was an older white dude. He wasn't on A-level, but they knew who he was.
Okay.
You can give us a C Murder or a Boosie story or something?
I could give you a both. Well, because Boosie wasn't really, Boosie was at Camp J. Bass because of his status. And Camp J. Bass is like, it ain't really in population, but it's population.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you deal with the dudes at Camp J. You feed them. You know, we done been in the business shit a couple of times. You know, Boosie's a, like he is, he's a playful dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he ain't the type that's always on some serious stuff. And I'm going to tell you this, Boosie is a real frugal dude. He ain't finna spend no money like talking about.
Yeah.
If you're going to give him something free, he want it free.
Yeah.
In the same way with Soulja Slim, rest in peace. Soulja Slim was a real frugal dude. I don't care how much money he got, Soulja Slim was like, man, give me a bugler. He ain't finna try to spend his money on nothing.
Yeah.
But see, Murder different. Murder be like, man, Murder spend his money and he gonna try to treat everybody around him with kindness and just be good to his people, you know. Me and Murder just used to be partners. We done been in the cell, next to each other in the cells. We done just been in the dorms. We'll just be around each other, just running it. He'll just be running Epps and stuff. So we was like, you know, we was around each other as opposed to just me and Boosie.
Right. So was you a cheer up? You know what I'm saying? Did you put your bag, as soon as you stomp in that bitch, you drop your bag?
No,
you tear rapping.
No, you ain't doing this.
You ain't tear rapping.
See, because when I came to prison, you got to realize it was a different time.
No.
So it was like, when I came to prison, all the dudes or whatever, they're going to be lining up. And they're going to be looking to see who's coming in. And you got to be on game. But they got a dude named Satie here. He was in the parish with me. And Satie had to been in Angola. So Satie, like, was just teaching me stuff. So Satie be like, he was just teaching me stuff. So certain things I could go into prison and be looking for. So, like.
So what's some of the things you got to look out for when you first get in the prison?
If that
Sissy Boo now?
No, you ain't never got to worry about no punk.
Wow.
A punk is up under another man's administration.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to do nothing until his old man say do something.
Yeah.
But you have to watch out for the men. So this is something you have to watch out for. Let's just say at that time, you go in prison and you put your stuff down because you come in there with a little bag or something. You put it down. And the dude comes and say, man, I got you. I'm going to show you where your bed at. He pick your stuff up and say, I'm going to show you where your bed at. At that point, you better attack him. Because he didn't already told everybody, I got him. Watch me. And those are the moves he's going to put down. He's going to go grab your stuff, pick it up, and I'm going to show you where your bed is. So everybody that's off into that, they
watching to see what you finna do.
Yeah. And if you don't do nothing, they say, he got it. He got it. He's going to get some play tonight.
Spooey. So
he's going to give you some play. You know what I'm saying? On you. He's going to give you some play. So, you know, the average dude like, man, don't touch mine, man. Get on. I don't need no friends. Get on from around me. And then they know you got some ground. Or you just punching.
Lock in the sock.
That's at nighttime.
Yeah, lock in the sock. Yeah, see, they don't know about lock in the sock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? See, me, I'm going to school them on their ignorant stuff. See, they're going to be all politically correct. See, me, we're going to talk about the lock in the sock. You ever had to put the lock in the sock on a nigga?
Oh, because, see, when I first went, I was 17.
Yeah.
You know, at that time, my name was Big Youngster. So I was a big old young dude, and I was hitting hard. So
yeah,
my lick finna get you. I'm finna knock you out.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I know I had a point to prove. So, you know, like, people go and say, man, I ain't got no point to prove. When you went in prison, you had a point to prove. You wanted to be a man, you had that point to prove. You want to be a punk, you had that point to prove. You had to prove who you was to somebody because it was no free rides. As opposed to now, you come to prison, dudes ain't much paying you no attention. But then dudes was paying you attention. They scrutinize you from night to day and they try to look for openings on you. So you had to show no weakness and you had to do what you had to do to survive in that prison system because it was nothing but barbarianism, man. It was just real ignorant stuff going on at that point. So, you know, you just had to do what you had to do to survive and just keep your mind out that madness, because it was some madness and your mind could have easily got entrapped into it and you could have became that same monster.
So do you feel like today prison, the environment inside the jails now, is it like, could somebody fly under the radar, or is this still not a thing? Like, do you still gotta really have your guards up, like, no matter what? Like, is it still as, you gotta be vigilant?
Have y'all seen these niggas? Hey, have you seen the videos from the niggas in the jail having fun with dogs and guns and money and shit? These niggas is having fun in there.
They got Popeyes.
All type of shit, man.
It's totally different now. You don't have to have your guards up and nothing. It's like now, dudes get off the bus playing. You know, it's like,
he ain't lying. Yeah.
They just gonna be playing. They got their partner. Their partner gonna come. You know, call them out. Call them the B word. You know, back then you couldn't call no man no B.
Who was that talking about that the other day?
You know what I'm saying? You couldn't call no man. You couldn't play with a man manhood in prison.
You know what that change came in it. Back then, a lot of people, I would say it was more fathers in the home. Now, most men raised by their mamas, and that's how their mamas talk. You know what I'm saying? They picked it up. And that's how my mama talked. So yeah. I called my homeboy bitches, hoes, pussies, all type of shit.
Mm-hmm. That B word was real loose in my household.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Like,
it wasn't in mine. This was, like, it was different. That was, like I told him, like, even today, I don't say it. Like, I don't be like, what's up, bitch? And like, if I, the closer that I get to it, I might cut the C and H. I was a bit like, but that bitch, like, they just they taught me, like, you know,
he called me a pussy the other day.
But in listen, but like in Louisiana though, like what I've noticed, like from being around people from out of town and shit, in Louisiana, like people from out of town say, like, people from Louisiana love that bitch word. I think that's just something, like, that's just a word that's in our lingo.
Yeah, because we use it as a noun.
What's that, bitch? You know what I'm saying?
That bitch, they'll
fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, but look at that bitch. You know what I'm saying?
But that bitch pressure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We could be talking about anything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When we say the B word, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but do you think that we should bring back the scared straight shit, man, for the younger generation? Because I don't think they really know.
I don't think that shit worked either.
It did work.
I went through scared straight.
That shit, you know how many times I've been to Angola?
Yeah.
I think it'll be more effective if you was to take them to a frontal in Angola.
Okay.
To show that, man, you can die here.
And don't nobody give a fuck.
Yeah, because it ain't the toughness no more. It's just about the long standing time you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
He in there. How much time you in there, man? I've been here 53 years.
What?
I think things like that are, you just go there and you go on a ward and you see dudes that can't do anything for themselves. And they be like, I think that'll really, won't scare them straight, but I think it'll hit their consciousness more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ain't nothing, they ain't scared no more.
Mm-hmm. They ain't scared
of
shit.
These kids ain't scared of anything. They ain't scared to die. They ain't scared to kill.
Exactly. And that's the thing about, like, scared straight. Like, the motherfucker got to be scared. Like, and these motherfuckers ain't scared.
Oh, they not scared.
But think about it. All them people we went through them programs. A lot of our constituents.
What he said back then, it wasn't that many people from Shreveport back then. Them little kids go, now they going to see their whole hood in that bitch.
But like,
what's up? Well, where your mom at?
Yeah.
What's up? It's a reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, it's like, all right, when I went to prison, dudes had went to LTI.
Yeah.
So they were saying Scotland, which is in Baton Rouge. That's a part of LTI. So a lot of guys, they was going to Angola. So they was reuniting with the people that had been to Scotland with them. See, me, I just went to the Radifer house. So it ain't nobody in there from the Radifer house. I'm the only one.
Yeah.
And then I'm from Shreveport, so another minority. Because it wasn't, at that point, people from Shreveport wasn't getting threw away in the system.
So let me ask you this. Did they do that, like, North versus South thing down there?
Well, yeah, they just had a murder last week behind North versus South.
Mm.
The murder that just happened, and you know, I ain't supposed to say a lot, but no, those are those are variables that ain't gonna go away. And so it's like the little brothers that's out there killing one another and don't want to be around one another because you from this hill or you from that. When you go to Angola, man, that's who's gonna have to have your back.
Yeah.
Because as much as the dudes from New Orleans got the same mentality while they're on the street, I'm from the third ward, from the 17, I'm from this hill, or they from different gangs also, and they beefing. But when they come to prison, let them get into it with you.
How long coming out?
So can you kind of speak more to that dynamic in jail as far as North versus South? Like,
all right, North versus South is the mentality in prison is like this. A lot of dudes from New Orleans be on some
Read.
I tell you, we run this because it's more dudes from New Orleans than any other city in the jail. And then the dudes from Baton Rouge be on some. See, it's like Shreveport is outcast. And they like, we ain't really a part of really a part of Louisiana, even though they know we are. But it's like, man, y'all so far up there. Boom. So it's like New Orleans be like, they're gonna click up. Baton Rouge definitely gonna click up. See, New Orleans is so loose, sometimes they wouldn't even much click up. But you ain't finna never not see Baton Rouge click up. Baton Rouge ass gonna ride on you. So if you get into it with a dude from Baton Rouge, know that his homeboy is coming. Now, some dudes from New Orleans know that their homeboy is coming. So dudes from Shreveport, certain people know that their homeboy is coming. You know what I'm saying? Or, see, Shreveport will ride like this. Shreveport, Monroe,
yeah,
all the way to Alexandria. So that's the 318. Alexandria is the middle of the state, and everything coming up north, they'll ride together. In New Orleans, occasionally they'll ride with Baton Rouge if they get into it. But most times they don't have to ride with you because there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, it's so many of them. But now Shreveport got a lot. It's a lot of dudes from Shreveport down there now.
Yeah, man, damn near the whole Lakeside Island down the bottom down there.
You ain't Cedar Grove, Cooper Road.
You ain't see that was mad at Rob 4-9 because he was saying the Baton Rouge niggas and New Orleans niggas differently. He say Baton Rouge niggas, they quick to crash.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't that video.
They mad at him about
DJ,
it.
But is he lying?
DJ dude.
How you... He just said there's more niggas from New Orleans than out of anything. So how they quick to... It seems like they getting away with it after they crash because there's more y'all locked up than them.
Yeah, see, it be... See, they'll see it differently. Yeah. See, like they say in history, the one that win the war writes history.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, it could be a dude from New Orleans and he could be a rat. But dudes from New Orleans ain't gonna talk about that because that's their own boy. But let you be a rat, you from here is going around the prison. Oh, that rat. Dudes from Baton Rouge to do the same thing. So it makes dudes from Shreveport have to do the same thing too. As opposed to dudes in Shreveport used to be like, man, I ain't messing with that old rat-ass dude. I don't give a damn if you from around my house. I ain't messing with him. But then now, how they'll do it makes you do the same thing. Well, yeah. That's my homeboy, man. He ain't gonna rat on me.
Yeah. She.
And so, like, when you hear a Rob 4-9 saying what he's saying it because he repping his city, you know? He repping his city.
They said like they feel like we ain't a part of Louisiana.
Yeah.
He said something based on that too, like they because we so far.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. See, so it's like right now, what I'm doing, I'm keeping Shreveport in the loop judicially because we never had nobody to do what I was doing. So when I was in prison, we never had nobody from Shreveport that was reaching out, reaching back, that was going trying to talk to the DA. That was going to do things to try to get us out, to keep us connected to the rest of the state. We never had that. So now that I'm doing it, Shreveport is in the game now, and people pay attention to us a lot more now. So that's why you would see dudes from New Orleans that was cool with me would come up here and be like, man, I'm coming. Because dudes from New Orleans ain't leaving New Orleans. They don't like to leave New Orleans. Just like dudes from Shreveport ain't trying to leave from Shreveport neither, unless you're going to Texas.
I don't do Texas though, because Texas don't like Louisiana.
Yeah, but you know, that's where we'll migrate to. Yeah. But see, dudes from New Orleans be like, they love their city so much that they won't leave out their city. But now you'll see them coming up here because they got love for me and they want to see things better. Yeah. And so they'll come.
So did people like when you in prison, did people have like what I would call op friends, like
dudes that they was beefing with.
Like, say y'all in a different car. You in the north car. You got people in the south car. Say y'all the north and the south ain't getting along, but do you still have friends within the south during that time?
Yep, because those are the people that can kill the foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got dudes like me.
Mm-hmm.
You had dudes like Rufus, which is Scown. Rufus White, rest in peace.
From Cedar Grove.
From Cedar Grove.
Yeah, rest in peace to the big homie.
Yeah, you know, like, if something will go down, because he'll be cool with certain people from New Orleans, I'm cool with certain people, something to go down, oh, man, y'all kill it. And dudes from New Orleans be like, all right, bro, we ain't gonna do that. We cool. So the beef will go. You know, it's like just bringing up Fat Man. It's like one day they had a Shreveport and Baton Rouge, well, Shreveport and New Orleans thing. And you know, Fat Man, it ain't start with Fat Man, but Fat Man from Shreveport. So, And it be like this here a lot of times. You might not have nothing to do with it, but you better do something because you're going to get it anyway. Mm-hmm. They know where you're from. So you, somebody going to bust you in your mouth or whatever. So, but those are situations where ain't nobody trying to stop, let it go. You know, but most situations, when it arrive, you be like, man, we ain't going to let this be no city on city thing. Let it be a man on man thing. Y'all get it in.
Yeah, because it be end up being too much.
It be too much. You know, y'all gonna get it in, and that's gonna be over with when y'all finish.
So what would dictate that? Like, is it with the situation dictate whether y'all gonna let it be man on man or who it is? What kind of dictate?
Most times it's like who you are.
Yeah, because you start fucking with their money. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, they run a business.
They running business
too.
Up in there. They got a business.
You know what I'm saying?
Head.
I don't want it to be hot, just like on the street. I don't want to be hot in there either.
Yep. Yeah, you like who you are. Like you got some dudes that just got some tough dudes from every city. So it'd be like, if it's a dude like Y.O., he from New Orleans, a really good fighting dude. Just say if Y.O. was to get into it with somebody, it's going to be Y.O. can handle it on his own. Y'all done got, and he gonna tell you, I don't need y'all with me, man. I got this here. And he gonna go. And just say, if it's like Jonathan. Jonathan gonna be like, man, I don't need nobody. I got me. And Jonathan gonna do what he gotta do. So some dudes like that. Now you got some dudes that probably ain't that rah, rah, rah. And they so likable that people gonna come with him because they be like, man, I'm going out there with him. I'm going out there with him. And it'll cause something. But, you know, a lot of times people will be like, man, we're gonna let's squash that, man.
So do the peacemakers have to, like in them situations, where it is like city on city, do the peacemakers got a ride too?
No, the peacemakers, most of the time, the peacemakers going to keep the peace. They're going to, even when it's going down, they're going to be like, bro, I ain't getting into that. I ain't into that, man. And they'll stay neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, man, that wasn't about nothing, man. Y'all killing each other behind that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they still keep the
do they out. Let them stay neutral?
Yeah,
well,
because you know it's always asshole.
Yeah, you'll have them with their homeboys be like, man, you sold out. And they'll have to get into it with their homeboy at that point. You know, if it's a homeboy from New Orleans, you might have to get into it. If it's a homeboy from Shreveport, you have to just get into it with your homeboys because he's saying something. But it wouldn't be outside the lines. It won't be nobody from Shreveport saying you a peacemaker. Yep.
So do you feel like homeboy confrontations is less like volatile than when it comes from people from different areas, different regions?
Yeah. Yeah. Because when it's homeboy, y'all just keeping it within yourself.
Yeah.
But when it's somebody else, you know, y'all don't want to look bad.
So you're going to try to kill it.
Yeah. And it's like we rep our hood, now you repping your city. And you don't want your city to look bad. You know what I'm saying? So you got to.
This city already look bad.
You know what would be more crazy, though? If everybody dropped this city and there's thousands of prisoners in there, and they all, you know. But I ain't going to say nothing too much. But you get what I'm saying?
And that's how we used to talk. Because it's like, That's on the state level. But on a federal level, it ain't no city. It's Louisiana. States.
Cause this is what's insane to me, though. I'm just gonna keep it G. Like, niggas be overly gangsta on the streets, and then they in jail saying yes sir and yes ma'am and shit like that, walk straight line.
It depends. You know all niggas ain't like that.
Nah,
though.
But what I'm saying,
I
is
I seen niggas keep that same energy with the judge.
Yeah, I hear you. But what I'm saying is this: you got thousands of inmates. You got maybe hundreds or so of guards.
Not sometimes not even 100.
Sometimes not even.
Depending on where it is.
Sometimes not even.
It really be one or two guards in the dome.
It's more of
people are allowing themselves to be in prison. Like,
yeah.
Like,
that's psychology.
Yeah, like when. When Kanye said,
Pac-Man just said the smartest shit ever. And listen, when I was in jail, right, my last time, I ain't been to jail since 08. Knock on wood, it's been a long time since I caught a feeling there, pat on the back. But now, me and my cell used to sit there and say, man, we some bitch ass niggas. Cause they niggas talking to us real motherfucking stupid. And don't you know, ain't but three of them in here, and it's 250 of us. And ain't we in here letting these niggas talk to us stupid like that. He was like, we really some pussies. We bitch made ass niggas.
Think about this. Like CCC, right? Like you say, it's two or three guards in there, right?
Yeah.
They let the top tier come out to eat or something, right? To eat.
It's still more.
How are you allowing the system to run?
You want
to
know why?
If y'all gangsters and thugs,
but
like
you know
you're
why?
Saying you
is. Cause they can
you see what I'm saying?
Because after you do it, whatever you're going to do to them, they're going to send them real gangsters in with them big-ass rifles. They're going to kill all y'all. That's why they allow them to do that.
The same thing
with the slavery shit.
No, you can say the same thing with slavery. And that's the mindset that allows people to stay in prison, because I finna show
you
something.
That's what I'm saying. It was people that did fight back, and they died.
I finna show you. No, they didn't.
They did.
No, they didn't. They just took over the prison in St. Louis here recently.
Yeah, and what happened to them?
They didn't die.
But what happened to them? Did they leave?
Nah, they ain't leave. They sent that motherfucker on fire and some more shit. If they were more determined and more, and they had more strategy, they could have got out.
And they would have went right back to jail.
Not necessary. How?
Man, boy, this is not 1985.
It don't gotta be.
We in a new age.
But it's not. They will go back. Gonna be a lot of people in there.
Eventually,
your mind.
Eventually, the life.
You
know what I'm saying? The people that got life, they gonna start putting trackers in them. Like, after a while, ain't no getting away.
Well, they don't have no trackers.
I'm just saying.
Now.
Eventually.
You see what I'm saying? And it's been people that didn't escape prison and never got caught. It's been people that didn't escape prison
and been gone
10, yeah, 20 years.
Very
That's
few.
Worth it.
That's very few.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just
it's
being
like
real.
It's like getting a lottery.
That's worth it. You got to be a free person again.
You talking about a billionaire like El Chapo?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about people that strategize and plan escapes. Like,
well, y'all can listen to Pac-Man, y'all want to.
Look, if you can
I'm
get
not
out,
nobody
get out.
Listen.
What I'm saying is this. If
what,
you can get out, get out.
You said
what
you I'm, want art.
Yeah, no, want what art. I'm saying is yeah. this.
We need,
what I'm saying is this.
You won't and let the inmates run
I'm not saying nothing more or less. What I'm saying is this. When you have thousands of people who claim to be gangsters and thugs,
well, a lot of them
in a prison,
are. They are
right. You say they are, but they are under the right circumstances.
They still got them dogs in them
because in jail
they don't send them dogs in on your ass.
It's not enough.
I don't say they let them do that no more. The back they send them dogs.
It's not enough of them.
It's not. It's really not
to
pain,
keep
man.
Y'all in prison. You're in prison because they. Took over your mind, like they have your mind to where you're allowing
by
them.
By the time you get to that gate,
you only have.
It's gonna be over.
All right, peep this. Back in slavery, they talk bad, so bad about the slaves. Oh, y'all let them woo, woo, woo. You only have so many white people with the horses out there in the fields. All y'all gotta do is rush them.
Yeah.
And you're going
to... You see what I'm
you
saying?
Might get
somebody,
away. Guess what? Eventually you're going to die.
Fuck that, though. You're like,
get,
fuck
you
that.
You're going to get so far.
You might die in jail
gonna,
anyway.
I'm saying, you
not
talk about the slavery
part. If you in Angola, you got fucking close to life anyway. Who gives a fuck?
I agree with Pac-Man.
That's easy for somebody to say that ain't in their position, though.
But I agree with Pac-Man.
No, nigga, when I was in CCC, I was trying to strategize getting
the fuck up out of that.
You didn't have
But
life,
it wasn't though. Worth it. Like, it wasn't worth it. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is this. If you have a bunch, thousands of motherfuckers with damn near life sentences.
Oh, well, yeah, since you said it like that.
You are allowing yourself to stay there.
Yeah.
Because it's not enough of them to keep you there without you being a participant in it.
He right. Because me and Mag gonna bust up
that's
out
why
that bitch.
Certain, when certain people go to prison.
Y'all can listen to that's
y'all why
want
when,
to.
That's why when certain people go to prison, they isolate. I'm not saying do this. I'm just letting you know.
Say, man, if y'all that's really want to get up out that bitch, y'all get out of the bitch.
Because they can't have them around other prisoners talking like
y'all
this.
Y'all stuck now. They say no more pardons. Well, ain't no more
early releases
and parole and all this shit, though.
Nah, it's 85%.
Everything 85%.
Then they just put your bar up on
No, but everything is 85%.
Oh, nonviolent 85%.
Everything
85%. Hey, excuse me, T1, I got a question. Okay. Why every nigga that come out of jail been a dead by 25, 30 years talk and speak so damn humble and soft? Y'all niggas act like y'all ain't real. Y'all niggas, the way they talk.
Hold on, what?
They talk so humble and so, you know what I mean?
Fluent?
They not aggressive.
No, I get what he's saying.
You know what I'm saying? They don't.
Why you expect them to be aggressive?
It's a lot of them do still have that aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got.
You see how calm you is? Like when I be.
This is what people don't understand. In jail, them some of the most mannered people you gonna meet. Cause you gotta be a certain way to live around a bunch of people. You gotta know how to say excuse me, pardon me. You know, don't stop nobody conversation. You gotta have manners to survive. So of course when they come out, they gonna be well mannered and soft spoken.
Cause the niggas I know do like 5 years. They come out, them niggas be on that same shit. You like what's that, bitch? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But like the people that I done met done 20 or 30 years, it's like they soft spoken, very humble.
So you feel like niggas need 20, 30.
But the people you talking about do 20, 30 years, when they get out, they old, and people who are older are most likely like it. Yeah. Just from aging.
So I'm going to need for them to stop giving niggas 5 and 10 years. I need for them to give them niggas 20, 30.
Nah, man.
These niggas.
Nah, man. I do not support his views.
This nigga's insane.
I do not support his views. You on your own, my brother.
So nigga done pulled up at the stoplight. They got the cheering over there selling hot dogs and shit. He see his op right there. He done pulled up at the stoplight.
Now, that's insane. That's what we gotta stop doing too, though. Like, cause niggas gotta learn. And don't take my words out of context, even though I know like certain people will. Like, you gotta learn how to fucking kill. If you got an enemy, like if you feel like your life
go kill
dying,
him, go kill yeah. your enemy. If you feel like nobody else.
So you promoting your violence.
I'm not promoting
violence. No,
I'm trying to lower the numbers.
No, I'm gonna tell you.
So if you
want to
kill somebody, go kill that person.
So you said they need to go to the gun
not necessarily the gun range. Walk up on them and shoot them in their fucking.
No, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying we gotta implement harm reduction strategies.
Like murder.
No, I'm dead serious. Like
not the killing to murder.
Like you don't shoot up parks. You don't shoot up places, public places where there's a bunch of people at.
If you have something, can see them in.
It's never. It's not. If they live in life, that's not the only place.
Yes, it is.
So, no, it's not. So look, if you got somebody in this world that you really feel like is that much of a threat to your life, because if they not, then you shouldn't be killing them anyway. But if you really feel like they're that much a threat to your life, you need to do your homework.
Burn the house up with a dollar worth of diesel.
And catch them in places where, you know,
ain't nobody.
It's going to be them that's going to be
just breaking his house and put bed bugs on his bed. In his
you know what I'm saying?
It's in a paper bag, put it on their front door, set it on fire, knock on the door, and when they come to the door, they're going to stomp the bag, the fire, and they're going to stomp the
boy,
shit with
like
the fire.
P. Diddy this shit right there, boy.
That's like, that's, you that's know, it. P. Diddy that shit, hey, that shit fire, ain't it? Like, that's the best way to get a nigga. Like,
you learned that at the swingers club.
No, nah, like, I ain't necessarily saying you shit in the bag. Like, you can find some dog shit or something and put it in a brown paper bag and light the brown paper bag. And when you knock on the door, when a person come to the door and if they see a brown paper bag on fire, what they gonna do? What? They gonna stomp the shit, ain't it? You get it, stomp the shit. Like, fuck all that. You know what I'm saying? But for real, though, look, we got to get ready to get up out of here, man, because Nesto got to get home to his wife so he won't sleep on the couch.
Man, you be doing it, man.
Why I did what? You the one did. He who did it? We
nigga,
didn't
at least
do it.
I got somebody to go home to, nigga.
Look,
yeah,
man.
Man, speaking of that, let me ask one more question. Like, when you did go to jail, like, far as like the people on the outside of the world, mm-hmm. who kind of like kept in contact? Wasn't any females and thing like that? That you know, I ain't saying they was your woman or nothing like that, but just friends or whatever case may be that, you know, kept in contact or did. Did you not have as many people that
you want the men and the women or just the
yeah
women?
Yeah both
for as far as men like the Young family my boy G Young Shitty had pain rest in peace Grady that whole family really kept it real with me my partner Champ who's doing time in the feds right now he kept it real with me we had I had Clay Wayne, all these here, my, you know, homeboys, my partner Gigi, white boy before, you know, white boy up until the time he passed, rest in peace. It was a few more homeboys. My first love, man, I kept in contact throughout. We might go a couple of years without talking to each other. But we'll find a way to get back in contact with one another. And she used to come see me. And another one of my first loves. Well, no, my first love. It ain't no.
Yeah, I mean, first love that yeah, boy got but, it.
Yeah, my first love. She used to come. And so it was another female that I used to mess with as when we was younger. She used to come see me also. From my past, that was really it. Everything else that was coming to see me was women that I met while I was Joseph.
Yeah, through the internet or something like that?
Yeah, they're having a phone, going through the internet, and different like sites.
Okay. And I'm gonna ask you one more question before we get up out of here. This might be more tougher though. More on tougher end. When it comes to the person that was unalive that day, what would you have to say to like him? If you were able to talk to him through like a realm or something like that, or like, yeah, what would you have to say?
I would say, man, you know, it was no malice in my heart.
Mm.
You know, I apologize that you just, you know, you lost your life that day because you didn't have anything to do with the situation. You was just out partying and having a good time. And You lost your life because you was just trying to have a good time. And I would say that, man, I really wish that I could take those seconds back so that you wouldn't have to leave Earth the way that you left Earth.
Word. See, here, on That Ain't My Business, but let's talk about it. Baby, you know what I'm saying? You know, we real people. We do real things, you hear me? Like, this some real shit. You feel me?
Mm.
And this is a good Sprite, you feel me? And we got T-Win on here, man, you know. To all the young people in the world, you have to learn good people skills, man. And we got good people skills over here, baby. You feel me? Shout out to the world.
Man, the moral of the story.
Shout out to T-Win.
The moral of the story, man. Don't do crime and your ass won't go to jail.
Let me tell you something, because Pac-Man gonna bust your ass.
Nah, what you
no
mean
homo.
Pac-Man gonna bust?
Like, man, not like this.
I'm
nah.
not gonna bust nobody's ass in no type of way, shape, or form.
Nah, what this man talking about?
That did his shit again.
Hey, man.
Yeah, and no way, shape, or form, figuratively nor literally, is Pac-Man busting anybody's ass. So,
Like you say, man, that ain't my business, but let's talk about it. I'm Pac-Man, the hood voice box.
You know, I say that ain't in my end. Look, I want to appreciate y'all.
Motion City.
I want to appreciate y'all. See, see what I'm saying? I'm going to appreciate y'all for tuning in. That ain't my business, but let's talk about it. Y'all know who it is, man. I'm the myth, the legend, the voice of this
Motion City.
Great ratchet city of Louisiana. And I want to thank you, T-Win, for joining us, man, and educating us on, you know what I'm saying, the penal system.
You, I'm starting to say you some slick.
Well, you finna say something else with
I'm something finna, slick with you, cuz
I'm finna say the penal code. You know, you
finna say the penis system.
I was finna say the penal code, my nigga. But you know what I'm saying, you know. But you know, appreciate you.
You did a joke before.
None of your business.
You wouldn't know what happened in prison, stay in prison.
See, listen, unlike these young niggas who growing up in this technology world shit, I understand that you don't need to let people know everything you do. You don't put everything
you do
on social
question.
Media. Well, you feel me? You don't put your whole life out there.
That man say your mother mama bears knowing it.
Listen, you don't put your whole life out there. You know what I'm saying? If the mama bears want to know what type of time I done, or if they want to know.
They gonna find out.
If they want to know if an old white bitch named Betty done jokes me, you gonna have to come holler at me. And if you know if an old white bitch named Betty jokes me. You feel me? Yeah, I fucked that old white hoe. And her daughter.
Yeah, but make sure y'all like, share, subscribe.
We ain't gonna never get no sponsor talking about fucking white people and all that type of shit. We ain't gonna never get it. We trying to get to the next level.
Hold on, but you Motion City. Motion City gonna get you there. Ain't that motherfucking way.
Yeah, but shit.
Appreciate y'all for tuning in.
Cancel the fuck out of us playing new
games. Nah, don't nothing get in the way of the motion.
Of motion. Yeah, you're right.
We out. This ain't my business, but I just know about it.